You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, hey. Yo, before we get started with today's episode, got a little premiere. Convulse Records is putting out a new split 12-inch called Shock Therapy, featuring New Jersey's own Gel and Romania's own Cold Brats.
Nice.
Track from Gel is a new song called Predominant Mask. Track from the Cold Brats is a new one called Cly Checkmate.
Mm.
Both are on the upcoming split. Should be available for order today on convulserecords.com. Let's hear Cold Brats first, and then let's hear that Gel song.
Wowza. To Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
Oh, he made it back.
That's he really did. That was good. I was not, thinking about stretching it out a little bit.
I live in a New York City apartment. How far can I get? You know what I mean?
So that's true. That's true.
Okay. Gentlemen, do I say something afterwards or no?
Usually you have a little quip or like, and then we go into the reads. Do you want to just forego the quip today? Or are you feeling quipless?
No, quipless today. Let's get into the reads. Oh, you know what? Actually, let's do this. Bob reminded me this afternoon that I should do things of this type more often. I'll keep it short, though. Everybody, I am a professional comic book writer. Many of you don't know that comic books still exist, but they do. And I am at the third largest publisher. So it's Marvel, DC, and then Image Comics. I write a book at Image Comics that I'm very proud of, the last one I did. This is with a very talented my co-creator, Marco Ferrari, who is just brilliant. We did a book called Frontiersman. It was very well received and sold very well. It's kind of fun talking to music people about it, because when you tell them, like, yeah, you know, the first issue sold like 23,000 or whatever, they go, 23,000, holy fucking Christ. But everybody, the way that it works is it's a $3.99 comic, of which I make a dollar. You know what I mean? So it's not, it's a little different than music. But at any rate, Marco and I have a new book coming out, and the way that comics work, everybody, is it's a pre-order system. I am appealing to you, the hardcore listener, because you understand what a pre-order is. Not everybody on earth does. So stores only order what comes in as orders to them, plus some overage based on what their shop's history. What that means for me is that if every person in the sound of my voice called their local comic store and asked for Antioch issue number one, I wouldn't be in a different tax bracket, but we have enough listeners that this would be a very successful book.
Right. And it costs you very little. Let me jump in here.
You call back and use a fake name and a fake voice?
Well, I mean, you still got to buy the things.
So
you got to pay for it. It just doesn't have to. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you go to comicshoplocator.com, which is a long time existing site, which is kind of wild that it's still there, you can enter your zip code and find a comic book store. Find one that looks good to you. If you know one in your area, even better, support them. They could use the support. Order the book, Antioch. I, as a friend of Patrick's, take this obviously with whatever grain of salt you would like. I think Frontiersman is a great comic book. I thought his book, Patience, Conviction, Revenge, was a great comic book. And the art on Frontiersman, which it is the same artist moving with you to Antioch.
It is, and he's doing his best work yet.
It's really good. So check those out. Give them your time and attention. I think it's really well done stuff. And if you want to see what this dude spends most of his time doing, here you go.
There you go.
I've bought two comic books in the last 30-something years, and they've both been Patrick Kinlan's.
You know, Tom, appreciate that very much. Thank you, everybody.
Cool. That, and I bought a I'm lying. I bought a third one. I bought the Watchmen.
Watchmen, like a graphic novel. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, whatever you call them, the trades, whatever the fuck,
when
they
trade paperback.
Trade paperback. Yep. Everybody, that's the deal. That's your spiel. But the way that comics work, you got to call. They're going to say, oh, you want us to start a pull box? You don't need to know any of the lingo. Don't feel weird. Just say, I was just really interested in checking out this book. Thank you. And then they'll say, cool, we'll call you when it's in. That's all there is to it. Thank you.
Then you go in and buy the book. All good. Thank you, everybody. Guys, let's also say thank you to our wonderful sponsors, To Live a Lie.
Lena Dunham.
Run Why for Cover would you Records.
Do that? Why would you do that? I have No.
We got to stop it. All right, let's pull back. To Live a Lie.
Why would you do that?
Kathleen Hanna.
All right, you're getting closer. All right.
Run for Cover Records.
Susan Sarandon. Yeah,
well, no. We got to go back to Kathleen Hanna's not great either.
Kathleen Hanna's not right, great?
She's let's a turf, restart. This whole thing.
Whoa.
All right, let's restart it. As long as you didn't say J.K. Rowling, right?
I'm keeping up with 60-year-old people's fucking politics. Kathleen Hanna
You think Kathleen Hanna is 60 years old?
Kathleen Hanna's 100.
She's not your age.
She's 112. The point is, I'm not kidding. When people say shit like that, like, oh, I don't, she said something this week. like I'm keeping up with Kathleen Hanna. Listen.
No, but I mean, I think that's been a thing since like the Bikini Kill days.
Okay. Fuck it. Sorry. Okay.
To live a lie. To live a lie.
Suzanne Sarandon.
Run for cover records.
Suzanne Sarandon.
Sheena Shea.
Death Wish Inc.
Piper Pirabu.
And Close Casket Activities.
Brianna Banks.
Everybody, today we're going to focus on Death Wish Inc. and Close Casket Activities. Guys, everybody, I'm going to direct you to your browsers. Go to deathwishinc.com. Direct you to your browsers and direct your browsers to this, deathwishinc.com. I'm going to tell you, click on their shop, and then you click under pre-order in the music zone. I like it. You get all everything in there. Death Wish Distro stays popping. They work with a number of labels, smaller, larger, all things in between, and have a lot of different pre-orders in there, some exclusive stuff. So, you know, sometimes you want to go and buy your things all at one place. You're looking for that new ankle biter demo 22.
I've heard tons of great things about this.
Yes, I have too. If you want to get that End It Unpleasant Living LP, check that out there. You want to get the Glare Heavenly 12 inch right there too. Pre-order. That is just a few of the, High Vis 12 inch. Interesting.
That was what I had ready for to discuss.
Oh, well, we'll go in. Let's talk High Vis because this is something I'm interested in.
I feel like they're the third of the trio with Chubby and the Chisel.
Okay.
Completely different sounding band, though.
Yeah, very different. People were buzzing about it after Outbreak. And I finally checked it out because it came up as a YouTube suggested. Which, by the way, I told you fellas that I finally came up as a... Like, you know those YouTube channels I follow that post old hardcore shit?
Yeah.
I'm old because I got...
You got hit.
Yeah, I'm in there. So I'm now officially vintage. But I checked out on one of the new ones. I checked out High Vis, and it is a totally unexpected sound, but clever. Somebody said that it's... The way that I asked at Outbreak, I said, what's the sound? And they said, imagine being inside a British person's mouth, but in a good way. I think that's kind of accurate.
I like that. Post-punk. I like that very much. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, that 12 inch is available. Yeah. Right now you can pre-order it. A transparent red vinyl copy. So go to deathwishinc.com. They stay on top of that new shit. Always good. Get it. Closed Casket Activities.
Let's do it.
You got something to say? Yeah, closedcasketactivities.com. Where are we at? What are we doing?
Let's pump that Zeus record again. So for people who don't know, this is Taylor Young doing what might be a... This is unappealing to some people. I think it's very appealing, which is, I think it's like a
solo record.
It's him. I don't know how much help he even had. Now,
I mean, does he need any?
No, he doesn't. That's
which is fucked up.
So some people find it unappealing to find out, is that band real or is it not real? Look, depending on your perspective, Hatebreed hasn't always been a real band. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Most bands you like, their bass player hasn't played on the record.
Yeah, that's a fucking fact. So
Tom just pulled back the curtain so hard.
Yeah. So
and not even, I mean, anybody, like, you go, like he's like in the band. He's been in the band for 10 years, but he hasn't, like, he's not like a band member. He's not on the records. I'm like, why? Like, I remember being like fascinated by that stuff. It's like, that's why he's not in the pictures.
Same. So,
Could you think like, it's organic. You have like a band that you create with your friends and everyone's in it, but it's like, no.
And it still might be your friends, but you're just like, Listen, this is, I don't want to make you, this is my vision over here, asshole.
Barry, you can't play bass.
Right.
We know it. You know it. You look good on stage. You do the thing enough that nobody's like, what's going on over there? But on this record, Tori is playing bass.
Correct.
Because Tori can play bass.
So
Is that Tori, like the woman that they brought in towards the end of Saved by the Bell in the leather jacket?
No, it's Tori Amos, who, spoilers, is on the new self-defense record as the bass player.
Amazing. Amazing.
What a coup that would be. Okay.
What a coup to just be like, oh, Tori Amos, yeah, come in and record with us. Oh, you know, collab. And like, here's your bass. All right, here's the bass lines. All right, go ahead.
So
do it.
This Zeus record, I'm not going to pretend that this is my sound, right? This is a death metal inspired sort of stuff. I'm just going to suggest that Taylor is an actual student of every game that he enters. He's not like he's like a nerd in the respect that he thinks that you should have an active knowledge and respect of the thing that you're doing. So if this is your sound, you will listen to something that is studied and considered. And for that reason, I think that is completely worth checking out.
Shout out to Zeus. Yeah. No ground to give. Order that LP. Tom, what else we want to talk about here on this closed casket? The closed casket store is lock, stock, and loaded. We've been talking both publicly and privately about the Skinhead 12-inch.
So good. New songs are great. They're like one of those things you keep listening and you go, oh, I didn't catch that line before. It's like super funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what?
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, I like the shirt. Hey, you're not a skinhead, and fuck you. There's so much going on with this.
It's great. Yeah, it's very good for family reunions. Good for church picnics.
You know, going to get ice cream with your kids.
PTA
meetings. Maybe PTA meetings, yeah. It's car line. You know, when
and it fits
when,
every when everyone's like, hey, hey, grandma, you're not a skinhead. Yeah, fuck you. A skinhead.
And she's not. She's a fucking fraud.
No.
So what show do you go to? Like, if you go to a Cox Bar show and wear the shirt, like it's fight, right? It's fight or flight.
You know what? I have no idea.
Maybe like a Violent Way show.
Mm.
I feel like Cox Bar is a lot of norms like me.
Yeah. That's true.
You'd be like, yeah, I'm not. You're right. I'm not a skinhead.
Or involuntary skinheads. There's a lot of involuntary skinheads.
That's for sure. I feel them. I understand your pain, friends. And hey, guess what? Germane to today's conversation, Gulch Impenetrable Cerebral Fortress.
Two hard words in a row for that.
Correct.
Title.
Yeah.
The fifth pressing on Purple Gold Black Mix is available. This is one of those things, even if you're not going to buy it, which I encourage you to, go look at it and look at all the crossed out variants from the first, second, third, fourth pressing that have already sold out, and go, maybe I should pick this one up. So shout out to Gulch, shout out to Closed Casket Activities. I have a feeling we'll be talking a little bit more about Gulch. ClosedCasketActivities.com. Thank you to our sponsors. Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
You know how I had to stop following the Yankees because it impacted my mood?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so so maybe 5 years ago, I had gotten into baseball pretty heavy for like two summers. And then I just found that it was impacting my mood. Like if the Yankees lost, I was I felt like I lost. And it's not a good way to feel when they play so many goddamn games. So
that's right. 5 or 6 years ago was a dark time.
So the new, hey, this is impacting my mood is I just came in third in my Fortnite Battle Royale because I cycled through to a chug jug instead of the hammer rifle that I was trying to use. And at third, this don't mean anything to you two fellas, but to some of our listeners,
nope.
This would have been my third victory while holding a crown, which is just like you stack these up and you're just like a little king. And anyway, for people that need my, it's Saddam 518, and I am a vigilant bush camper, which means I am just waiting.
You hide?
I'm waiting. Yeah. Yes. I basically kill two guys, hide until there's 10 dudes left, and then am like the worst. Straight up, there's nothing that brings me more satisfaction than watching two dudes battle it out, go just to the death. Like, and one guy, it's a hard.
And then you pop one out. Like, he just defeated him, and you're like, boop.
Yes, before the survivor can heal himself, I pop him in the head and go, ooh. It satisfies me so much. Anyway, but I was on a run. And it was denied to me because of some idiot plane. And now I'm a little sad.
Tom, how are you? How's your Fortnite run going?
It's pretty good. I have a clan, and I got the new big fucking gun. I don't know. I don't play. I literally, I have a PlayStation 4, but I play sports.
Only 2K?
I play either NBA or the MLB exclusively.
How do you like that MLB game?
I really enjoy it, and I buy it every year.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Wow. Yeah,
I mean, it updates very. It's I mean, it's pretty much because you get the new rosters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And if you stay with the old one, then like Pete Alonso's like a jabron, but like
yeah, you need to get by
2022. He's hitting home runs. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think it's fun. The graphics are pretty great. I have a bone to pick.
Oh wow!
Let's hear it. Pick the bone.
So. You know how PlayStation 5s are like, I mean, this is like some fucking first world bullshit to be arguing about. Mm-hmm. So PlayStation 5s are pretty much impossible to find.
Yep.
Still, yes.
Yeah. So I get like a, hey, if you're interested in registering to buy a PlayStation 5 directly from Sony, sign up here. I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I sign up. I get a code. I get a time to sign in. And you can buy, you know, I was like, oh, I'll buy one of the digital ones since it's a little cheaper. I don't need to have CDs and stuff. I sign in. I'm like, oh, they have like the, you know, whatever it was, $300, $399. I get through the whole process. I'm literally typing in my credit card number.
Oh, no.
And it's not going. I'm like, what the fuck? By the time I got there, it was sold out. It was in my cart and someone stole it.
Oh.
Yeah, they're like, there's only like as many as there are.
Groin. Oh.
Yeah. But then I realized, I'm like, I don't really need this. It was just something like, I can't imagine it being that much better. And there's like 4 games on the fucking thing. It's been a shitty rollout. But I was just like, God damn it.
I know. I'm right in the space where I have a PS4. Don't play it that much. Easton's 8. He's more of a Switch kid right now. But it's coming, so I don't know. I probably, like, how long do we think the PS5 is going to last? You know, like PS2 felt like it lasted for like a decade. PS3 came and went. PS4 maybe 5 years, I think. But like, am I going to be late term to PS5 if I get it in a year and a half? You know what I mean?
Right, and they'll start announcing PS6. Yeah.
Exactly. I hate
that's that a lot film. Of money for something. I mean, I use it as like, you know, I watch Netflix through it. I watch Hulu, you know what I mean? So it's worth it just as like a entertainment kind of thing.
Like a, yeah, system, your entertainment system. Guys, we are all talking about video games. But you know what goes along really well with video games? Hardcore fests.
Oh, I was going to say the incel life.
that's a bit of a Venn diagram there.
Bob, before we jump into the main topic, can I do a little? Yes. Can I do a little on air? Almost a quick hit and almost a tease, but it requires some buy-in on you fellas' part, and I don't know if you're game. Does the name what's this fucker's name? August Alston mean anything to you?
August Alston.
So
I'm gonna Google.
So you know fellas that have been in like 50 hardcore bands and
yeah, sure.
You don't know their
name, great name.
But you trip over the and you know some so for some reason, I forget what I was listening to one of the records that came recommended to me on YouTube the other day was this Pleasure Cross record from like 2014. And I'm listening to it and I like it, whatever. It's on Iron Lung. And it's like kind of in that mode, but like hardcore and whatever. And I was like, oh, you know what I mean? I'm not familiar with this record. Let me do a little dive. So this fellow August, whose name is going to ring bells for a lot of our listeners. I only knew some of his acts. Let me just read some of the acts.
He was in Walls, right?
You got it.
Yep.
So Walls is the one I recognized. Lords of Light I recognized. Mm-hmm. This I don't know if this is the same Society of Friends that I'm familiar with. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so Society of Friends is the first one of his that I'm familiar with. And but he was in The Electric Eye, which I know people like, but I'm not really familiar with. And Crown Roast, which I don't know at all. But Walls, yes, Walls is the one that many of our listeners, that would be in the pocket for kind of, you know, still Iron Lung stuff, but like it had like a pump moment, like where people were talking about it, right?
This fellow was on the Negative Step 10 inch, which is this funny record from the early 2000s. It was on Deep Six, and it was good, but I want you to, if you get a chance, if you're navigating Discogs, please look at the cover.
Oh, I checked it out. I've done the deep dive, and it's a great
cover. That was a ordered from an ad in MRR for sure, and was very pleased with the art. So,
oh yeah,
very cool.
The reason I mentioned this fella, and again, his name is going to mean something to a lot of our listeners, but I did not place him. Like I said, I know Society of Friends, Lords of Light, but I didn't know this fella's name. Do you want to do a thing where we fucking, like, how would you guys feel about doing a bit of a Discogs on somebody that is not like one of the most name brand dudes, but has really contributed a lot of their life to fucking?
Yes. I mean, I think there's so much of that it's really, it would be a fun activity for sure.
So, sure. August Alston, I don't know if you listen to this or if you give a fuck about the type of hardcore that I enjoy or whatever. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. I just like the fact that you have been doing what you've been doing for actually maybe
literally a long time.
Yeah, maybe technically longer than some of our listeners have been around. So,
when that first thing came out in 95, according to
longer than you.
Yeah, longer than me for sure.
And a nice cross section. I'm actually very curious because there's stuff on here I know and a lot of stuff I don't. So shout out August Alston, who is getting a lot of perhaps uncalled for or undesired attention. And if that's so, we apologize. Yeah, but as Patrick said, it doesn't really matter. We're going to talk about your music. Hope it's cool.
Yeah, I didn't mean to blow you up. And if I don't want nobody hit me telling me, oh, this dude voted for Trump or some shit. I don't give a no fuck about any of that shit. I'm just checking out what he does.
Love it. We're going to be checking out a lot of stuff on this. Guys, before we get into it, last call. It is Tuesday. We are going to be in Los Angeles tomorrow, all three of us, actually. And then we are performing Axe to Grind live on Thursday, July 28th at Brain Dead Studios in Hollywood.
Woo.
Tickets are available. Go scoop one. If you're a Sound and Fury God Mode pass haver, I think you can pick up your pass there. And if you're just in general around, come through. A little thing I want you all to know. There's more than 4,000 people going to Sound and Fury.
Ooh.
If you want to get there, it is outdoors. If you want to get there to Exposition Park, and just breeze through the gates and walk in like you own the place, stop by, come through, hang out, hang with the Axe to Grind, quit your band already, overnight drive team, and hang out, have some laughs, engage. We got some fun topics that we're going to get to. But don't be one of those people who is standing in line outside waiting to pick up your pass. Is there anything in life worse than standing in a line?
I don't know if I've told you this. My girlfriend actually refuses to do it. She just will drop whatever she's doing and leave. Like, absolutely refuses on every level. Just, nope, that ruins my enjoyment of whatever this thing was. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, yes. Sounds like an intelligent human being. So, come through.
Being outside a fence as the music's starting.
That's right? Oh my God, there's the band I want to see. No fun.
Yeah, so guys, you got there, you're like, thanks, we were so-and-so. We're like, oh, cool.
Oh, damn. Yo, and for you merch heads, that's the difference between getting that hot shirt and not. So anyways, come through. We're going to have a great time. Really excited about it. Thank you to the Sound and Fury guys. Thank you to Brain Dead. Thank you to our buddies doing the other podcast stuff. Should be fun. Thank you to Eric Wilson, just 'cause.
MC. If he doesn't have some kind of tuxedo thing on.
I know. What do we tell him? He's currently in Chicago.
Tuxedo t-shirt, sleeveless. He's in Chicago?
He's in Chicago right now. Should he
be like doing stuff with like the Groundlings? Is he like trying to get his like step his game up?
What's
like,
the what's the comedy troupe there? Is it Second City? He's just trying to get in there. Yeah, yeah. Like
he's trying to get ready for the pod.
We cracked the code. That's what he's doing. Have you guys ever heard of what's this Sleeping Dunes in Michigan?
No.
Yo, check it out, Sleeping Dunes. There's a national lakeshore. Just type it in.
I thought this was like a troop.
No, I don't know how much. How much time have you spent around the lakes? The big lakes are crazy. They're so big, the water can look tropical sometimes, right? Wow. And this is one of the spots. And there's a section on the Sleeping Bear Dunes. That's it. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. Sleeping Bear Dunes, where they have signs up. The dune is so steep into the water. It looks amazing too, but there's signs that say, hey, do not get stuck. This is a steep walk down. If you need to be rescued, it is a $3,000 fine. do not risk injury and rescue fees by going down, or the 2 hours it may take to climb back up. Now you see it and you go, oh, that looks awesome. But then you see people, like there's videos of people climbing up on all fours, like halfway up laboring, because it's like, it looks like a crazy incline. So so either Eric's going to get his comedy chops up, or he's exploring the lakes. I know which one I'd prefer him to be doing. Guys, last week we actually did a bunch of California talk. We're going to revisit that. Had a lot of people love it. I want to ask you both, do you think through synchromysticism, on the day our podcast was released, Ebullition also debuted their Instagram account?
What?
That was insane. And it wasn't planned, everybody.
It wasn't planned. We have no communication with...
Because of any of the people on this podcast to bring up an Ebullition band, you would think I'd be the last one.
Yeah, that might be true.
And it led to a crazy Ebullition conversation. And they happened to start an Instagram account. I should say, can we do magic?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think
I don't want to break it to everybody, but yes.
Anything your heart desires. We can do magic. So speaking of magic, let's talk about Sound and Fury. Sound and Fury 2022. I can't believe it's Sound and Fury 2022. Holy shit. Sounds crazy to say.
When did it start?
It starts Saturday, July 30th.
When did it start? 06?
2006, yeah. 2006. Wow. So Sound and Fury is a cranky teen who is maybe in a lot of places has its learner's permit and can drive.
That's crazy.
Yeah, wild. I hope that there's some kids attending Sound and Fury who are younger than or the same age as it and are excited for the music. That's kind of sick. Being 15, 16 into hardcore was like peak life. That was really, it really wasn't. But at 15 or 16, there's... few things. There's cool few things that were cooler. At 15 or 16,
you were just thinking about like the birth of your children. You're like, all right, well, never mind. Actually,
I was thinking about the birth of my children, going to see the Celtics and Lakers playing the finals.
The casualties at 15 was not that.
Like the ultimate. Like there's all these things. I'm like, swimming is really cool. Like, but when you're 16 and stage diving, then that's pretty good too. All right. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the bands. It's like a fun way to talk about current hardcore. And that's one of the things I want to give shout outs to all the fests that do it. When you give these current bands a platform, especially a large one, it enables people to know this is something that matters. And that's from the smallest band on this fest to the largest. It captures a moment in time. Bah, bah, bah. I'm rambling. But a hardcore fest's best attribute to me is putting on for what's going on right now. Agree, disagree, other thoughts?
100% agree, and I think very few festivals, if any, do a better job. It was funny. I was thinking about like when we were this morning when we were prepping in my head. I was prepping for this.
Hell yeah.
We read like one of the lineups a couple years. It had to be maybe 2019 or 2018. And there were always bands that were like, I don't know this. But then like, you know, you talk about that. They're like, oh, that band is like a thing now. Like, I remember there was Oso Oso.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was on one of them. I think Mom Jeans was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember they were probably an early band in like the smaller room, the lodge room, whatever upstairs, the fuck it was.
Yep. Yep.
And like we would be like, oh, that's cool. You know, like I'm not, and I think there's the same, there's probably less of that here because it maybe seems more like hardcore centric.
Sure.
But there's a few things on here that I'm like, we're definitely going to hear about this 2 years from now and be like, of course fucking Cola Boy is fucking headlining. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever. Like, and there's no disrespectful. Like, but like, it's like a new thing that I feel like Sound Fury always is able to kind of identify those folks.
Yep.
Pretty early in the scheme of things.
Well, and there's always those couple curveballs in there and it's like, look,
which is great.
Yeah. We talk about Military Gun a fair amount as a hardcore podcast. I wouldn't put their sound squarely as like hardcore. You know what I mean?
No,
but they certainly are of this world, from this world. But like, would I be surprised if in 2 years they were doing much bigger things to a broader audience? Hell no. Like
I mean, they toured with fucking Fred Durst.
Right. Well, but I just think that there's so many bands of this mix that are both like tried and true hardcore and then also pulling in something different and interesting.
Sure.
And like I will say the first time I saw Drug Church was at Sound and Fury a few years ago, and it was so cool because their energy and the audience was so lively that it's, you know, Drug Church is a square peg for the round hole of hardcore, but yo, the level of energy and excitement smashes that peg in, especially at a fest like this. So I'm just excited. I think there's going to be great reactions and just like an overall cool energy to this. Patrick, what say you? What you got on this?
I mean, it's a fun festival every year that I've attended or played. Good vibe. Curious about the new neighborhood. I was thinking about, you know, I try to be likable in Drug Church.
Sure.
Which has never been my thing, you know. I was thinking, not to get all heavy, but I was reflecting on, for our listeners to this podcast, if you ever listen to this and go, I like this podcast. I really fucking hate Patrick. I'm not mad at you. You know what I mean? Like, people present in such a way, because I read people's Twitter and I go, I fucking hate this person. But I don't really hate that person. I don't really know that person. It's just like I'm getting little snippets of them, and it's just like the vibe is off for me personally. So anybody that doesn't like me, no hard feelings on that. But
it's also pretty funny because I feel like I have to always like when people are like, "Yo, is it cool if I go up to like Patrick at insert show here or festival here?" Like you're like a rabid dog.
Which is weird as fuck. I thought, like, I think I like laugh and I'm kind on this fucking thing, but
right. And I go, well, not even, but, or like that you're going to be a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. I'm definitely not.
And I'm like, but no, people are like, is it cool? And I'm like, dude, he's like a very charming, very warm person.
Yeah.
When you approach him, he's not going to, I'm like, you know, he like no sold me at the Brooklyn show cause he had a poop. But like,
yeah, I mean, look,
if you're a fan of his band or his work, he's very nice.
Catch him on the way out of the bathroom, not on the way in. Yeah, is what we're saying.
Right. And if you shake his hand, his hands are not wet, then you made a mistake.
Yeah. It was ill-advised on your part.
But and just to summarize, Tom on Sound and Fury, you said awesome, great exposure, a lot of mix, some new bands, things that might pop in a different way.
And it's my Patrick, first time.
Patrick on Sound and Fury, I try to be positive and nice, but if you don't like me, that's okay.
Well, cool. No, here's the reason I say it, is because –
yeah.
The energy of Sound and Fury is like, okay, let's have some fun and do some hardcore. And
yeah.
And it's not what I am really tempted to do, which is
fun.
The neighborhood that this festival is taking place in this year is fascinating because it's South LA this year, right? Am I wrong?
Exposition Center. So it's like kind of close to USC. Exposition Park, I should say.
Let me take a look. Is it just south of downtown, or am I tripping?
Yeah, it's just south of downtown. You're okay. Correct.
So just a little background for people that don't know. In the 80s, that was where the South Side Slayer was murdering street women. And the South Side, here's the most fascinating part. I bet if I walked around the neighborhood, I could find some place that there was a body dump, because there was right.
Is that your new thing? Instead of you're not doing magnet fishing anymore, you're trying to find.
No, listen.
We should go magnet fishing while we're out.
Listen, there was the reason that they couldn't find the South Side Slayer was because there was 5 serial killers operating in the same area. I want you to think about how fucked up the 80s were in Los Angeles, that you had minimum. So
you're saying one of them is going to be at Sound and Fury. Like, like mathematically, there's a good chance that one of them is going to show up.
I was just going to say, no, I think most of them died on death row. But I just want to say that, like, I wanted to go out and be like, oh, it's a crazy neighborhood you got here. It's really nice, blah, blah. And be like, did you know in the 80s? Because I find that sort of shit fascinating. And if some band like blew my mind with the fact that there was 5 serial killers all within.
You're buying a shirt.
Bob, I'm not tripping right now. This was like all within 3 miles. There was
no, you're not wrong. I mean, that's part of what set up the whole South Central kind
of weed pen. Like, what? I want to see stage dives. People died here. Like, what are we doing?
Well, that's what I was
saying. There was a body right there. Million miles of fun.
So anyway, but I'm not going to do it because like the vibe at Sound of Fury is not like, it's not.
You're
like,
outside in Cali. You can see a palm tree from the stage. Right, you're not going to be like, people died here.
Hey, everybody, how much you know about the Grim Sleeper? You know,
man, people died here is a great like crust noise core demo name.
Oh, here we go. We got a new one. We're overcoming SWAT.
But yeah, listen. Sound of Fury, can't go wrong on the vibe. Now, can we talk about the lineup now? Because this is one. Here's a little behind the scenes shit. Tom and I were sneaky pressing Bob for info because I'm playing the thing, and I know who's playing the day that I'm playing, but the little gossip inside wants to know the lineup, like wants to know the set times, you know what I mean? And
Bob kept it lock under lock and key.
Yeah, Bob did a good job, but he did not succumb to pressure. So, but now, you know, we got a little bit more of a notion of what's going on, but that's not even important. Let's do this. Everybody, in the sound of my voice, you know the deal. If you have never been here before, I'm going to tell you now. When we talk about where a band should stand in a festival lineup. If you perceive disrespect in that, that's because your brain is broke. Period. It's we're just looking at a thing, having a little talk about hardcore. There's zero disrespect. If I put you opening a show, it's simply because for this particular show, I think maybe you open it. That's it. I've opened a million shows in my life. I promise you I will open more in my life. So it's no disrespect. Now, with that in mind, can we please talk about that? Because there's a fascinating thing going on. Do I not bury the lead?
Go in. No, go.
Do we want to go? Do we want to start?
Speak your truth.
Are we doing the pre-shows and stuff first, or we want to go right into?
Oh, we'll get there. But let me
the matter. All right.
Most fascinating thing about Sound of Fury that I'm sure everybody else running a festival is taking note of: no clear headliner on one of these days.
Right. So clearly Gulch is the headliner on Sunday.
Correct.
Their last show, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get there.
Saturday. The fact that there's not, now don't get me wrong, there's headliners. You know what I mean? There's some good fucking bands.
But there's no definitive, I can't believe they got so-and-so back to headline this festival.
Right.
Right.
Which is beautiful.
They're not telegraphing like the way that any other festival would. So we're going to get into that, but let's start with the pre-shows and all that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time. No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, pre-shows. So Axe to Grind kickoff show. Be there.
Oh, yeah, be there.
I have the site up if you want me to read all the stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, let's. Why don't you, after the Axe to Grind show, we encourage you to sweep over to the Maggot Stomp Records showcase.
Mm.
And that is at Resident DTLA.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to read the? Can I read them?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Doomsday, Mongrel, Sentenced to Die.
Ooh.
Terminal Nation, shout out Terminal Nation.
Yes, shout out Terminal Nation.
Command and Creeping Death headlining.
Sick.
It's at the Resident, 428 South Hewitt Street, Los Angeles, California.
That's fun.
Go in, go at that. Yeah.
Shout out to Maggot Stomp. Shout out to Scott McGrath, a dude who's low key designed the look of hardcore for the past 20 years.
Yo, Maggot Stomp is big. I saw a dude at a fucking at the Circle Jerk shirt wearing a show wearing a Maggot Stomp shirt. That's when I knew things were happening.
Yo, he designed the Sound of Fury logo. So shout out to
him. Get out of here.
Yeah, he's been an OG.
Great logo.
He did all the original posters. I don't know if he's still doing them or when he was not doing them, but so much love for what he does. And it's like,
fuck yeah.
I didn't know that Maggot Stomp was his thing. Before I knew what Maggot Stomp was, before I knew it was his thing, you know what I mean? And that's not like some world I know. Let me not fake the funk. Same time, it's like, oh, of course, this dude is doing this awesome, well done thing that people care about. So shout out to Maggot Stomp. Shout out to that showcase. I think that's going to be really cool. So everybody check that out. The next day, Friday, a little bit chill. Yeah. You got to get a day to kick around LA. Okay.
Got to go get vegan food. There's a bunch to go. Maybe go to the beach if you're not like me. Record 100%. Stores.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Lots of stuff going on. The Candy record release show. Tom, go in.
It's at 1720, which everyone should be familiar with. It's been a stable venue in the Los Angeles area for a couple of years. It's all ages. Spike Hellas is opening. Field of Flames. Spice. Records very great, very, very good. That's Spice record. Ikulu, Ingrown, Boise on Top.
Yeah.
And headlining is Candy, their record release show.
Cool lineup, cool mix. Spice, Ikulu, Ingrown, then Candy. You're getting a lot of stuff. I mean, that's just an awesome show in general.
And then
excited for that.
Say, you know, there's more.
Okay. Well.
There's another Friday show, which if you don't have tickets already, you're SOL.
SOL.
One of our podcast co-hosts.
Yes.
From Thursday night is headlining a nice little Super Heaven kickoff.
Ooh.
Yes.
Here's my concern, though. I clicked on the event, and it brings me to the Maggot Stomp.
Do you know why?
I don't know who else is playing.
It's sold out. It's a good show. You ready?
Yeah.
Headlining Super Heaven with Anxious, Soul Blind, and The Berries.
Fuck.
This is like an Axe to Grind approved event. This is Friday at the Resident. Sold out already. This is just a rad show. I'm really psyched that that's the mix. You've heard us big up all these bands. Man, it makes me think that we need to get the Axe to Grind Live vehicle back up and running because
I think so.
Webbed Wing, which is Taylor and some of the fellas from Super Heaven's new thing, did a live set. Anxious, obviously, did a live set way, way back. Soul Blind did a live set. And I don't know anyone who's big up the Berries more than us. So this is an awesome show. Shout out to anybody who's getting that. Guys...
And there's
let's talk about the post show. Yeah, yeah. Do the post show. Flat spot showcase. No.
There's also a party, I think, Saturday night.
Saturday night party. It's free. DJs. I think it's 21 and up. Yeah, go. If you're feeling spicy, go. get that party juice out. Let's go.
Yes. And then Sunday, July 31st, after the fest, the post show, it's a Flat Spot Records showcase.
Mm.
Shout out to Ricky. It starts at 10 p.m. It's at the Resident in downtown L.A. Speed, Zulu, Scowl, and Regulate. That is a hot show.
Yeah, that's stacked.
High energy. Like, literally. Speed opening that?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a hot show. So,
and they're going to be around. Just, this is not part of Sound of Fury, but they're doing a bunch of stuff in Cali after that with Inclination.
Oh, hell yeah. Good luck.
Like the weekend after, they're doing some stuff, probably more towards the Bay and stuff like that.
Love that. Yo, let's get to the meat, the fest of the fest. All that stuff, and this is the piece that I try to tell people. When you go to a fest, we've gotten this question actually. Folks who are a little on the older side, but still excited, want to go see stuff. You go, oh, I don't know if, man, are fests just like, is it too much? Should fests be less? It's like, no, person. A fest is a fest. It is opt-in. Go see what you want. These showcases, they're there if you want them. If you do not, do not worry. If you want to just go to the fest, just go to the fest. If you want to only see these bands at the fest, do so and then go do as you would like otherwise. That is one of the cool things. I think we're moving more towards that culturally. And understanding that is one of the coolest things, being able to understand.
Here's my problem, though.
Yes, go.
As an older fella.
Yes.
So now I'm like trying to like think of myself through these 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, looking at the lineup, I'm like, there's nothing that I can necessarily, or that I would choose to skip. Yeah. I would like to see, like, even bands that I'm not, there's a few bands I'm not, maybe one or two bands I'm not familiar with, but like, it's not like I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to skip Fiddlehead this time. Like, everything on this fucking show is stuff that I'd either love or really want to check out.
Solution. It's tough. Solution.
Bring a chair.
That's one option. Other, opt in to a couple of these showcases or kickoffs or what have you. And then now I will say this, one of the cool things is there's not a lot of repeat, but it's like, if you know you're going to see Speed at that Sunday night post show, all right, maybe I can just take a breather then, you know, maybe
they're not from here, so you also,
you want to see him more than once. I get it. I think you're rocking a hard place.
I think I'm going to need like some knee surgery before that, but whatever.
Patrick.
Yes.
Why don't you, do you have the lineup up in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Hold on. Okay.
It's soundandfury.la for everyone who's listening if they want to follow.
Go ahead.
Tom, I got the cool email.
Look at him flexing.
It's in alphabetical order. Fuck you.
Flexing online. All right. Patrick, why don't you read us through?
In alphabetical order. Angel Dust.
I could have done that.
Boom.
Anxious.
Boom.
Well, let's comment. Let's give them this is almost like stream of consciousness.
Okay. I just did some shows with Angel Dust. It is a really fascinating band because it's not meant for stage diving, but totally can lend itself to stage diving. It obviously started with kind of like a like borderline skate rock sound, but that was years ago and now has pivoted to
evolved.
Yeah, it's gone in a ton of different directions.
Do they still play those songs?
No, not on the no.
If they break up that, if they go out with that, like, "You Build Me Up to Knock Me Down" song.
Yeah, they play
before 4,000 people singing along.
I don't think they play that very first record, but they do play the stuff that people like from then on, I'm pretty sure. So it's all over the place, but it's not without its own cohesion. It makes sense when you see it, and is just good feeling music. Like, nobody leaves an Angel Dust show feeling there's no dark feelings when you leave an Angel Dust show. It honestly is a good. Oh, whoa. You guys hear that?
Perfect outdoor.
What's
LA
going on? What are you doing?
That's my Apple Watch just acted crazy. It is. You can't go wrong.
Feel good music. Next.
You could,
Anxious.
You could put it on anywhere.
What, are we going to do 6 hours on Miami?
Yeah, we can't. Stream of consciousness is different. Anxious. I think they've been touring hard. I think they're going to kill Slade at Outbreak, and I am excited to see the reaction at this. I think they're like, there's those breakout sets that where it's like, oh, something sneaks up. They're due for that. Due for that.
Now, Bob, let me ask you a question. Mm. Looking at this lineup, and we could talk about this afterwards. Mm-hmm. Do you think there are like blocks of Anxious, Koyo? Like, do we get, you know, are we going to go from Creeping Death to Super Heaven?
There's going to be natural progressive movements that don't. It's going to be mixed. It's going to be mixed.
Cool.
And
cool.
It's going to all make sense. Broken Vow.
Excellent. Connecticut.
The band that every 20-year-old is most excited to see. Period.
Fuck
they're,
it.
They're popping. Yeah. They've
blown up in the last year. The leaps they've made is really impressive.
Pretty sure they have an LP coming in the not too distant future, which is exciting. So shout out to them. Patrick, get back. You're leading the train.
Okay.
As long as your Apple Watch doesn't explode.
His Apple Watch is telling him to stand up, so he's just like walking around in a circle right now.
He's just reading it off his Apple Watch.
Creeping Death. We've discussed
the heaviest band of the day.
Yeah, they're playing the night before or two nights before. Then we're getting into Drain, which we should talk about as kind of the front runner thus far as a headliner, based on what we're seeing. We'll get there though. Drain, obviously, potentially new Kings of California, kind of in that, like, I mean, I'm sure every listener knows them, but like, I think them and Dead Heat kind of have like, in some ways, some of the best kind of energy of their type, kind of doing a thing that I mean, I don't know. We've talked about this. We've talked about Power Trip kind of like really making thrash a thing for a whole generation of kids, right? Now, Drain and Dead Heat do different types of thrash from each other and different types of thrash from Power Trip. But to me, even though I'm not the thrash super fan, it's really fucking cool to watch it like have a actual fresh breath versus like kind of the old heads doing variations of the bands that they've done 100 times. So it should be cool to see.
And I think Drain, we were talking about, oh, there's no clear headliners. I think when we see the Drain set at Sound and Fury, it'll be a pretty clear headliner.
Yeah. So they're the front runner so far.
Yeah. Like we were saying, there's probably four people that if four bands that they closed, you'd go, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is rare for a festival.
Hell yeah.
Drug Church up next.
I mean, they'll probably be, if you get there at 11, you're going to miss them because they'll be playing at 1. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah. We're opening the show.
Totally jerking the curtain.
So if you like listen to Axe Grind and you don't like Patrick, that's all right.
That's fine.
It's no big deal. He's fine. It's fine.
Come stage dive while he tells you stories of women who died feet from where you're landing. Yeah.
And two men, actually, I should say. Of those 25 murders, I think two of them were men. Nice.
Hell yeah.
I think the drug charge, I mean, you know, present company excluded. I think this is going to be at the end of the weekend, people are going to be talking about drug charge. As like the holy shit, that was nuts.
Yeah, probably.
It's going to be a good set.
This fucking asshole. You can't just go, maybe. I don't know. Can't you be Derek Jeter? Can you give me a Derek Jeter answer once?
No, listen, I don't think I'm like particularly self-absorbed on this stuff. I think it'll be, I think we're pretty well oiled. We play
machine.
When Bob said Anxious just did a ton of shows. It's not like I've been in both types of bands. I've been in bands that don't, we can just pick up and play at any time and we're pretty good. And I've been in bands that really benefit from kind of just being road dogs and Anxious. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about the leaps and bounds that Anxious has taken since becoming really like a professional band, like a
full-time band,
you know, like full-time touring band. Drug Church has been that for what? 3 years, would you say? 4 years? No, since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, before.
Yeah.
So really, like, Drug Church, we're good. I don't think there's going to be a person disappointed unless you expect a second coming or some shit. Fiddlehead. Now, Fiddlehead is
maybe it'll be the second coming.
Yeah, maybe it'll be the second coming. Fiddlehead, interesting because this band just fucking kills it in the live setting, and people are excited for them. You could almost see them as a headliner here.
I did, yeah.
That's how powerful some of their shows have been. And in terms of raw numbers, sorry, everybody that finds this sort of shit offensive. In terms of caps, like bringing human beings to hardcore shows, they're kind of fucking on the upper level before you get to the like proper big bands in hardcore. So their shit set is going to be fucking awesome. At Outbreak, they were awesome.
Yes, no question.
Go on.
Let's go to Gun.
I don't know if I got anything to say. What?
Yeah. Oh, yo, let me just say something. Drug Church monthly listeners. How many? Tom, guess. Where's Drug Church at right now?
Spotify. I want to say $125.
Okay, Patrick.
I actually know the answer because my girlfriend listens to the cover song. It's the song she likes.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of your best songs. Are you playing it at Sound and Fury?
I've got Mac Miller trying to figure out horn players.
Fuck yeah. All right, good. That would go big. Tom, 202,000.
Wow. Look at you, Patty.
Where do you put Fiddlehead at?
Wait. Oh, well, yeah, okay, let's get that info first.
Tom, guess Fiddlehead.
Them, I'd say less, 150.
Okay. Patrick?
80.
Okay. And just to throw another band out who's playing, Super Heaven. Tom, where do you put Super Heaven?
I looked recently. They're like something ridiculous, like 400,000.
No, well, 200,000, which is
200,000.
Amazing.
Which is ridiculous.
Fiddlehead's at 99,000. Wow.
No shit.
You know what? Yeah. There's some proximity, and we're, you know, on the tip of the sword here with the Fiddlehead stuff, but they're at 99,000.
Wow.
So,
but they're both our Pats, but Pat, yeah. Kinlan.
Yes, yes.
Drug Church has a lot of, like, you know, I go to fucking punk rock bowling.
Yeah.
That, like, Fiddlehead has an access.
100%.
And that's not a bad thing, but I'm saying, like, this random.
Doug Church has much more of the bola tie fan base.
Oh, we've got serious satellite guy. Yeah,
you know, he's, right.
That guy's showing up.
Catch them casuals.
I'm not sure Fiddlehead gets that on, like, if they're being played on, like, Ozzy's fucking channel or whatever.
No, hold on. I want to say something real quick about, like the cover song and all that. So people are calling me because they're hearing me on their local radio stations and shit. And
are you going to break from this?
How funny would it be if this was my, like,
are you going to be Alien Ant Farm?
Alien Ant Farm. That was exactly the reference I was going to make. Well,
so are you doing a music video for it?
No, but listen,
you should, I will be the boss tone.
Here's a couple things. I have a couple points here. That the singer for Alien Ant Farm has IBS so severe that he needs, it's in their contract, he has to have a bathroom next to the stage and will often leave during a set to use the toilet.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know, it sucks. But in some ways, fucking awesome.
Do the extended version of At the Movies.
Yeah. Play the bridge extra long. I got to go use the toilet. But anyway, second point is, how funny is it that the Drug Church version of that song, Someday I Suppose, is getting radio play in certain places when it's a relatively faithful cover of the original, which you could always just play if you chose to, but didn't.
Well, people can't play it anymore.
Oh, come on. You can still.
You didn't go the Dickie Barrett route, buddy.
You can still play that shit. Listen.
And it's also a new version that people haven't heard before.
I know, but it's relatively faithful. Trust me. So, like,
and no, it is. I listened.
It's. I just think,
Tom, you don't know what he means when he says relatively faithful. While he listened, he wore a MAGA hat. He sang with the MAGA hat on.
We're misrepresenting Dickie now. This is rough.
We are. Dickie is not. He doesn't wear hats.
He doesn't wear hats.
His hair is too good. Nice hair. You know what I mean? Why would that dude cover a crown with a bag of garbage? Come on.
Him and John Joseph are going to Govinda's together, and neither one of them is a Trump guy. They just got,
All right, now you're going a little far afield.
They just got views on COVID. Next up, we didn't say shit about
Gun, younger band who I am not super familiar with, but have liked the stuff I've heard.
Okay. Ingrown, which is in some ways, I feel like they are the odd band out on this day. Because
them and Creeping Death on the heavier side.
Okay, Ingrown. Creeping Death and Tsunami is heavy, but Ingrown is hard and heavy. There's nothing else that day that's hard.
You know what? Drain is hard and heavy, the way you're talking about.
It's a smile Drain, vibe.
That's the only thing. Their music is fast and hard, and because it's a smile vibe, and because their imagery is Kewpie sharks.
Yep. Great imagery, by the way.
Fantastic. They've killed it with that. But because of that, people sometimes forget they riff. So we as the listeners don't forget the Drain fucking rips, and people will get hurt during the Drain set. That said, Ingrown is a different level of heavy and hard. Are there people who haven't heard Ingrown yet? Like, that's some Boise on Top shit. It is, if you like any of the Closed Casket catalog, again, check this shit out.
Yes, heavy. Koyo up next. Koyo's fascinating to my eye. They are blowing up. I can't really tell. We could check the spot.
I think they did really well on that Knock Loose tour, like really well, which is both not surprising not surprising because they're a very good live band and obviously put it together, but also you go, wait, naturally I wouldn't think a Knock Loose, somebody coming for the Knock Loose sound would also vibe on Koyo. But then you realize, wait a second, some people aren't dumb hicks who can only listen to one sound.
Correct.
So that's a major benefit. Like, it's a sign that you're doing something right when your fan base can accept different sounds. And Knock Loose certainly has that. And Koyo benefited greatly from it.
Military Gun. Shout out to Military Gun, by the way. Ian hit me the other day on what felt like some respect move of offering a show.
Nice
on some like old guy to young guy sort of shit. Although he's not actually young anymore, whatever. But
was he offering? Was he telling you guys that the drug church could open for Military?
Yeah, we could open. We're one of seven. The Military Gun, for people that don't know, is Ian, you know that part from Regional Justice Center, and before that Seattle's New Gods, and Military Gun is kind of his adjacent band. It is.
Do you guys share a member?
What's that?
Don't you guys share a member?
We do. Yeah. So if you like Angel Dust, if you like Drug Church, if you like Fiddlehead.
If you like Nirvana,
Military Gun is going to scratch all those itches. Yeah, if you like sub pop music from a certain generation, that's going to work for you.
Mm, good poll. I'm really excited to see it live because I think that's a space that they are exemplary. I think it's just very infectious. So
yes,
yeah, I think in California, I think that this is going to be a pop set. No pressure. So no pressure. I'm going to be totally honest with you fellas. Despite, I think I know people in this band and I have not listened
to several people in the band.
I know that it's buzzy. I know people are talking about it. I just have not checked it out. I think maybe just because of what in my head I assumed it was, but and that not that that's bad, but just it takes low priority. Like it's so I assume that I will check it out in a real way before this festival. And if I don't, I'll be watching it anyway.
Low key, potentially one of the biggest sets of the day.
Oh, yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Yeah, dude from the story so far. Some of our friends from Blind Justice and Regulate.
Mm-hmm.
It's pop punk, a little bit more hardcore than the story so far.
Sure.
But it's his hardcore version of it.
It's you talk about smile vibes. This is smiles and bouncing around the room vibes. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what that looks like next.
Yes.
Pillars of Ivory, which, the fascinating band, everybody, kind of like, you want to hear a fucking scandalous take? You want to hear like a take that's going to get me kicked off the fucking, people are going to come.
Let's hear it. Go for it.
A better realized version of what Cold World occasionally shot for.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
You can say that.
Okay. They're upset it. Cold World.
There's people who agree with you.
Cold World, very good hardcore band. Cold World, when they're doing the other thing that they do, I think less well realized. And Pillars of Ivory, let's say this.
Jay's a genius.
With respect in all directions, Pillars of Ivory had Cold World to build upon. So, interesting band, and almost certainly going to be one of the funnest stage performances of the festival. Can we agree with that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Second show ever, I believe.
No shit.
So yeah, they played the Triple B thing.
And that's it.
And that was it. Yeah.
Excited.
Should be cool.
Knuckles. It's going to be great.
Next show. Next one.
Praise. Oh, by the way, off mic, I'm going to get you guys to cop to at least a portion of what I just said as truth.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
They pulled off live too.
So thank you, Tom.
They have a DJ. They have a fucking, you know, like.
Yeah. I just think that it's like, it like leans in so hard that it can't help but be better in those aspects.
I think it's different things, but you know, it's just a different beasts. Same jungle, different beasts.
There you go.
Praise. All in a Dream. I think they did. Out. Yeah, they did the record release down in Baltimore. I think they've played a couple shows, but not many. I'm excited for this. This is a band who, low key, feels as different as any other band on this show, which is weird because they fit well, but they have their own energy completely, and I think that's really cool.
Right, they're pulling from Dag Nasty, while all these other bands are pulling from bands that pulled from Dag Nasty.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's pretty close to the source. Sure. It's pretty well studied stuff, and
fuck yeah.
I think it's Bob. You've been a supporter for a long time. Kind of like you give shout outs occasionally. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty pure band. I have not given the new record the listen that maybe it deserves, but they have a new one out, and I'm sure it's worth investigating.
All in a Dream. I think it's cool. It's like an expansion of their sound and different at the same time. Yeah, I don't know. It's I want to actually go in on the record at some point. Like I want to do a deep dive episode where we do deep dives on new records coming up not too soon, long. And this is one of the records I want to do. So
all right. Shout out to Praise.
Next up is Scowl.
This will be crazy.
Building. Yeah, they relentless touring, doing big stuff, doing small stuff, saying yes to opportunities in the face of. Why would we not do this? And I think it shows. I'm excited for their set because there's a few bands who I think over the past 2 years have gone from, oh yeah, it's pretty good on recording and live, it's fine, to now they're a top level live act. And I think that is the trajectory of Scowl. I think I saw live videos of them a couple years ago. And I was like, yeah, it's all right. I mean, whatever. And now I see live videos and we'll sit and watch and go, yo, there's... Yeah. They just, yes, owning it is the right term because they just have a command and control of stage that you get from touring a bunch.
Breakout band of the pandemic.
Yes, ooh. That is true. Soul Blind. Now, you don't need, and nobody needs my opinion on this because if you listen to this podcast, I've been singing their praises. I think that this will be the low key win. This will be the sneak winner of Saturday. Here's my promise to our listeners. If you watch this, you will be won over.
Yes. And we say this not, if you're thinking of Soul Blind and thinking purely a Jace or purely melodic or
no.
If you like Ingrown, you have just as much a chance to like Soul Blind as if you like Koyo. Money in the Bank. Go.
Speed. We talked about it on a recent podcast. I saw them in Australia and they were in their fucking glory, man. Like they have an almost European level of love of hardcore. Like it's fucking like nonstop, like hardcore rules. Don't you get it? You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking cool.
And I think this, it'll be even bigger here.
Oh, listen, there's going to be curiosity. And if here's a kind of like a hot take that I got for Sound and Fury. Don't yell at me, organizers. I don't know where you put them on the festival in terms of lineup. If you put them in the right place, they're going to have a touring future in the U.S. If you put them in the wrong, if you put them in the wrong place, they'll still have that, but they'll have to work harder. So,
how many monthly listeners, Pat, do you think Speed has?
Oh, I couldn't even fucking guess. Australia only has 25 million people versus 350 million people in the United States.
I'm gonna guess 15,000.
Pat, what do you got?
Let's say 35.
62.
Oh, wow.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Love that. Love that energy.
Like, literally, like, double and triple most bands that you go, that band's got to be bigger than. No, they're not.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Really worthwhile band. Everybody check them out. And definitely watch them. They've got an energy. They've got, like, a vibe, I should say, that has been missing in hardcore for a while. So, check it out. Tsunami.
Yeah, check it out.
Tsunami was kind of, was that the pre-pandemic breakout band? It was
mid-pandemic.
Mid-pandemic. Okay.
So, yes.
And when they started doing those shows in the Bay and in LA, like,
yeah, when they started doing those shows to like 2,000 people right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be like the spectacle of the weekend.
Yes, it will.
People are going to be like, oh my God. Like, people are going to be like cringing from the stuff that people are doing to each other.
Yes. It'll be not for everybody, but for the people that it's for, it will be exceptionally fun.
I'm stoked to see this in Cali.
I just want to see like somebody yell the word bitch and then do like a pile driver. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fun.
I mean, you know, Nate Brody King is going to be there, so maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to go there, and they're going to say, if you're not from the Bay, you're a bitch, and we're all going to laugh.
Yes.
They're all calling us bitches.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
And we're all going to be like, that's fucking great. This is the best thing.
Can we talk about how Brody King's life must be a fucking misery because, like, just, like, normal people come up to him and are like, oh, bro, could you fucking give me, like, a fucking choke slam? And he's like, I'm at fucking Chick-fil-A with my mom, bro. You know what I mean? Like, no, I can't.
It's a good question. Like the first 5 times it happens, it's probably fun, cool, and charming. The next 400 to infinity.
And now that he's on national TV every week, he's probably like, oh, awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, I got to clothesline another 25 kids in the Payless Shoe parking lot.
Right, like, oh, some kid took his shirt off so I could chop him and leave a fucking hand mark on his chest. That's great.
Well, we didn't talk about the Saturday evening intermission, which is Brody King at the Payless Shoes parking lot giving out, choke slams for $5 a pop.
Face rakes.
Yeah. Right, we're donating all the money to charity. He's Well, I got in trouble for calling him by his real name at a show once.
Yeah, I can't do that no more.
Not by him. He wasn't mad. Our mutual friend from Western Massachusetts, like, you can't call him by his real name.
Oh yeah, we don't want to.
That's how I know him.
We don't want to dox him, huh? Okay, so
I mean, I'm sure it's pretty easy to figure out who. Yeah,
anyway. Super Heaven. Did I hear you when you said this band has still 100,000?
200,000.
200.
Fucking band. Fuck Taylor. Fuck all these dudes. Fuck this fucking band. You know how hard I got to work to fucking stay current with my 200,000? Fuck
Ours is Chrome came out in 2015.
Yeah, for real, fuck this band.
They have an unreleased song from this session that I need to hit up Taylor to get him to let me get a copy of it because it's awesome. It's like this one of those like, wait, how did the song not make your record? This is fucking incredible. Holy shit. A band who had a minute and did very well. Obviously, there's plenty of people who still ride. Just an awesome live band. Awesome on recording. And I think Ars is Chrome is like somehow underrated. The record people go to for them is Jar, but their second LP I think is just as good. So. Mm. All right, day two. We're gonna have to speed round a little bit.
Yeah, we'll speed round. Okay, so I think Drain's the headliner, but there's a couple different directions it could go.
Could be Tsunami, could be Fiddlehead.
Right, yes. Exactly. Okay, now let's go to Sunday. Big Laugh.
Big Laugh.
Big Laugh. Got to confess, big ignorance on my part.
awesome
Milwaukee,
band.
Milwaukee, I think.
Milwaukee.
Revelation.
7-inch, that sounds like early 80s Midwest hardcore meets Youth of Today. Got an LP coming out on Rev.
No shit.
Awesome. Okay.
Boom. Yep.
Cola Boy.
Cola Boy with two Y's. It could not say.
Not hardcore. Features members of Nails and Patrick, Rev band we like a lot that Fell to Low.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll check it out then. Yep. Yo, everybody, Fell to Low, one of the most underrated of their era. I have high hopes for this now.
It is not what you think it is. It's very different, but I'm excited to see it. Supposedly super fun, really cool vibe. Very, very interested in it.
Gate Creeper.
It's cool that they still play Hardcore Fest.
Yeah, I mean, a band who's
broken, metal band.
Yeah, broken into metal really well, but hardcore roots, and maybe awesome. Maybe the coolest band from Arizona in a long time.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
God's Hate.
Payless parking lot, choke slams, and then you hit the pit, and it will be intense.
Okay.
Prison Riot.
Yeah, that's a fact. Like, Gridiron, which I love.
Me and Pat are going to be rapping to each other during Gridiron.
I love how much Gridiron talk I've encountered in the last couple months.
So the way a three person podcast works is that usually one, you know, the person who sets up the recording is the first person, and then one or the other is in there first. I'd say two out of the last three times where I've been the last person in the chat in the room. These two dudes have been talking about Gridiron. So, what is it? You on the bench and we in the trenches.
That's right.
Shout out to Mr. Carl.
25-8. No good at goodbyes. so fucking good.
Go Lions. Go Detroit Eagles. Philadelphia Lions. They should just make some sort of weird. I want the like bad parking lot style drawing of like the Detroit Lions mascot and the Philadelphia Eagles mascot, like making out. Gridiron.
Right. It's like Barry Sanders and Donovan McNabb or something like
BFN.
That's right.
Next.
Then we've got headliners. Gulch doing this. Is the last. Is this just let
last,
me be,
last,
let me be on
last,
the
last,
last, last or scam last,
last, last,
real last.
Okay. Fucking
they did a big run up, big run through to it.
This has been the plan for a long time.
Yeah, Tom, you pre-proed a little bit on this. I want you to lead that because this is a band who we've been a little bit tied in with.
Yeah, you know what? Like it's
from afar,
really weird.
You know?
I haven't seen them, but it's cool that like you know. It's weird to see a band's full lifespan. This is a really kind of a different lifespan than most bands. But like, I remember, I have very, very, very fond memories of the Gulch and Drain folks when we were recording live sets in Belmore.
Yep.
Me and Bob and Patrick, I think.
Yep.
Driving in a giant white
Suburban
SUV.
Yep.
To Philly to pick these dudes up, bring them back to record sets, and then drive them back to Philly.
Yep.
Number one, they ripped. And like, number two, from a, like, you know, there must have been, there was some, you know, there's some folks that are in both bands and all that sort of stuff.
It was like eight or nine people.
But I remember, number one, I remember listening to the Lana Del Rey cover of, Sublime on the way back, and they're like, the fuck is this? But like I've been around eight folks that radiated such like they were just the most stoked.
Yeah, that was
and
cool
was
energy.
Before anything really popped for them, but like they were so appreciative and they were so fucking nice and cool, like all of them. I'm so stoked. If it ends up being Drain and Gulch headlining Sound and Fury, I couldn't be more excited for a bunch of folks.
Mm. We also talked about remembering seeing videos of like early Gulch sets, them playing like living rooms in San Jose or whatever. And we're like,
I think Tsunami played
cool.
One of those shows too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're right.
They're beating the shit out of each other. I was like, it looks like because my go-to, just like when Pat makes fun of me that I always bring up Chasing Amy, Can't Hardly Wait is one of my favorite movies ever. And when they do like the live like Paradise City cover in like someone's living room, that's what this looked like, because it was like there are human beings anywhere you can stand in this house, and are like there was a guy in full like Muay Thai dress. Remember, he was wearing like I just watched it recently. He was wearing like gloves and so, like he was like punching people in that. But it was great. It was fucking awesome. And to see them come this far in a relatively short period of time, given the pandemic and stuff, is fucking crazy. Like, they're gonna headline their last show's gonna be 5,000 people. Like that's ridiculous.
One of the defining bands of this era. Full stop.
Yes. Yep.
Next.
Next is Magnitude. This is going to pop, right?
Yeah.
Always nuts.
Biggest sing-alongs of the weekend.
Okay.
No. Yes. No. Biggest sing-alongs for non-adjacent stuff, I'll say.
Okay.
Yeah. They always kill. And you're always like, it should be cool. And then they play, you're like, oh, my God.
There you go. Yeah, they steal the show.
Like, they're way bigger than you expect them to be ever. Like, you should learn by now not to overlook Magnitude.
And in the regarding things that steal the show, next up is Mind Force. New track out.
New album out. New Lords.
Mind Force just fucking rules, everybody. If this look, if you are kind of in that you know, raw punk fucking whatever fucking type of hardcore, and Mind Force doesn't seem like it'd be your shit because it's a little too new school, whatever, like it's really fucking great at what it is. It's like, I'm saying this as a person that I wouldn't try to sell some of you on the shit that I like, because I know it's not for you. Mind Force is a bridge. You can fucking like it, trust me. So check it out if you haven't.
To me, best band going, no joke.
Never Ending Game. Never Ending Game,
bonkers.
Along with Speed, has some of the most kind of heavy swag. And it's them and Gridiron. It'll be a fucking cool set. Don't miss this.
Yes.
One Step Closer. Did a bunch of shows with them. I don't know how they played Outbreak.
Yep.
But did it pop?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Did well.
Okay.
Did well.
There you fucking go. This is the young people's champ in some ways. I think I told them this. I think it's just like the Kings of High Water Pants, you know, like kind of like a different, not hard energy. That is perfect for Sound and Fury. Because Sound and Fury, there's a couple nose-breaking bands on this fucking thing, but it's not a nose-breaking festival. It's not like you go there to like get – you don't resolve your pit beef at Sound and Fury. You understand? So One Step Closer, great fit. Pity Sex.
Reunion for the show. Low-key, one of the best run-for-cover acts, I think, of all time.
I'm quite excited for this. This is one of the things I'm looking forward to most.
Yeah, I think
awesome band who has aged well.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. They've aged well sonically, but also, like, it doesn't sound cornball. It's like, it's kind of like there was a lot of people going for what they were going for at that time. And as Bob said, they kind of, like, come out looking pretty from it because they did it well. Now, I'm fascinated that them and Super Heaven kind of having this. I had no idea both bands were so fucking loved. Shout out to them though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
no question.
Regional Justice Center. Look, if Ian had chosen to keep his foot on the gas of this band instead of giving a lot of his efforts to Military Gun. And for people that don't know, Regional Justice Center he never sold it this way, but it's essentially a project band. It's in the whole project regards his brother's incarceration. This is nobody's business, but his brother's no longer incarcerated. Regional That's Justice right. Center will probably not be playing nearly as often, if at all. They were fucking hard and actually they were heavy and actually fucking harder than you might think. And if this was something that Ian wanted to make his full-time fucking thing, we would still be talking about them in the way that we're talking about some of these other fucking heavy acts.
No question. Heavy and fast, and came too heavy from fast.
Yes.
And I think it shows, and I love it.
Well put. Show Me the Body. This is the other type of adjacent that isn't really appearing on the festival very much, but that's Show Me the
Body. It doesn't appear in hardcore that much.
Right, exactly. So that's Show Me the Body's role. So Show Me the Body, like they played Outbreak, and people were like, how's it going to go? Well, here's how it's going to go. They have their own fans. You know what I mean? So like they are kind of an interesting band in the respect that they don't need a God's Hate fan to be a Show Me the Body fan. It's going to pop on. I mean, there's crossover, I'm sure, in each one of these, but it's going to pop on the merit of the fact that they have their own fans that they've cultivated through hard touring. So it's adjacent, but very different than the other adjacent bands. Slow Bleed. I have no fucking idea.
Very, very unaware. Curious okay. about it.
All right. We'll find out together.
Yes.
Spy, a band that we have big upped a lot because it's basically impossible not to right now, has really
good, fast hardcore that appeals to almost everyone. It's got a little bit of enough for everyone. Maybe not the true ignorant, like
right.
thud, but everything else like has that. I mean, what is now becoming a signature of the greater Northern California Bay Area, like frenetic, frantic, hard, angry energy. And they pull it off.
Yes. We at some point, we have to talk more. I know it's something I've pounded on, but we got to talk more about kind of Ceremony's legacy and how deep the tendrils go. I think it's a fascinating conversation that I would love to have, because as I've said a million times, I'm not like a fanboy. Like I don't need to, like, I'm not like looking for the love of Ceremony. But sure.
No. And I think we've, you know, surmised like my favorite stuff is when they go post-punk, but their influence, their local influence is so undeniable and major. We should talk about just that, but I think they have a much larger reach and there's ways to talk about it in waves of their influence.
Next up, we got Terror. I shouldn't have to explain what Terror is to anybody. I'm curious where they are on this lineup in terms of their set time, because you have to pay Terror their respect, period, and particularly in California.
Pity the band who has to play after them.
Yes.
I mean, any other time, they're probably the headliner.
Right. So does it go Gulch Terror? It might.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
You mean Terror Gulch?
I guess. Yes. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Because Gulch is last
show. I was going in descending order.
Yeah.
So, I think it has to. And, yeah, I'm looking at the lineup. It has to. But there's Terror, just an interesting band, and the fact that Tom, I don't know if I told you this. I told Bob. A friend of mine who is familiar with hardcore because he's played a million hardcore shows and has been to a million hardcore shows, but not like – he's more like a musician that likes hardcore. Do you know what I mean? He's not like a hardcore kid necessarily.
Right, how Billy Corgan talks about like the Bad Brains. He ain't a hardcore dude.
He's not a hardcore dude, but like
– correct.
Yeah. Probably knows more than Billy Corgan. But the fact is he saw Terror for the first time. This kid is not young. I mean, he's young to me, but he's not a fucking, you know, he's not 19. And he mid 20 year old, never seen Terror before and was blown away. He said that he did not expect anything nearly as tight and capable as what they were. I think that's fascinating because Terror's been a professional band for like longer than a lot of our listeners have been alive. So like they should be tight and capable, but he was really, as a musician, he was really impressed. I think that that's fucking awesome that Terror could have that impact on somebody who's not interested in being a Terror fan. It's awesome. So I'm actually,
yeah, cool. I mean, that band is a bunch of fucking killers, dude.
I mean, I'm really
like, they could be tight for just from, cause they tour all the time. Sure. But then you get the people that are in, like, they tour all the time, so they're tight, but, like, they're all like really, really fucking great musicians.
He made me. He rekindled my interest in Terror.
Dude, that new Terror record is fucking fantastic.
Yo, we'll talk. Let's not this episode. Let's talk about it because people are fucking like people that have given up on Terror are back in.
It's a fucking rebirth, man. It's so, this record is great. If you like fast hardcore, it's a fast, moshy hardcore record. It's fucking awesome.
Warfare.
Excited to see Sam sing.
I was going
to
say, am I dumb? This is Sam Triple B's band, right?
Sam and crew. Let's see what I think. Madison Justice, our boy Sam Bossom. We'll see. I'm excited to see this for the spectacle alone.
Okay, I'm in. And then hold on, we're almost done.
World peace.
Can't be done.
Am I stupid? Is this?
Bay Area power violence.
Oh, okay. I was wrong.
Some heavier leanings. No, I love this. I'm excited to see it live. I've never seen it. I think they did some East Coast stuff not that long ago, but I was not in the area. They have some stuff coming up in the later summer or early fall with Backslider, and I'm excited for that too, but this will be my first chance to see them. Mm. Awesome band.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got...
Alphabetically, finally.
Finally for Sound of Fury, we got Zulu. Interesting conversation here because where do you put Zulu on this lineup? I do not know. They are buzzy. They kind of get. I find it interesting. Where exactly is Zulu from?
L.A. I think.
Yeah,
right. Los Angeles. So L.A. So you do early to middle, but like you don't want them too early. You want middle. And you're going to have a big pop of energy. It's going to be fun. Can't wait to see it.
Right. They're one of those bands you put on probably a little earlier than you would normally just because they'll draw kids in.
Okay.
That makes sense. And it's just one of those, like, there's a bump up in energy, I think, when they play. So I'm excited for this. Oh, yeah. Actually, Sunday is a tough day in terms of, like, who plays early.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, on my flight, my 26-hour flight, I'm going to take these bands and I'm going to put them in the order that I would put them in and see how close I am on the day.
And awesome. I want you to give them like, you know, opening band on Sunday, 1 p.m. to 1:20 p.m. I want you to do like,
oh God,
I want you to do the schedule too.
You want me to make it not fun for myself. All right, I'll do it.
Yes.
California.
Both shows at the 10.
California.
Uber out.
Here we come.
Oh, okay.